Father, we face decisions, we face choices every day of our life. What matters is that we choose you. This life is a test, and all of eternity hangs in the balance. Open our hearts and our minds today to hear your truth delivered by your Spirit. Help us to be still and know that you're God. Father, I pray you forgive me of my sins. Help me to be your instrument here this morning. We continue to pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Multiple choices. We face multiple choices every day. Our leaders at all levels of government face multiple choices every day. And for some period of time now, decisions, choices have been made that are not pleasing to God. And we were talking in Sunday school this morning, as a matter of fact, will God forgive you for bad choices? Yes. God will forgive you. However, that does not mean that the consequences of those choices are done away with, because we have to live, or others live, with the consequences of the choices we make. For example, if you decide that you want to try heroin and use a needle that is infected, will God forgive you? Yes. Might you still die from HIV or hepatitis? Yes. The consequences we make, or the consequences we make, come from the choices that we make. And we must understand that no decision, no choice, is without consequences. Every choice we make, consequences follow. Now, sometimes they're good consequences, but not always bad. I can remember growing up, me and my brother's 2.5 years younger than me, and we went out trick-or-treating before my sister was ever born. We went out trick-or-treating, and man, we made a haul. Back then, we just had the little orange plastic pumpkins, but they were about full. We had a ton of candy. Well, you know, we were supposed to come home and dump all the candy out, you know, and Mom and Dad looked over all the candy, and we only got a certain amount. But somehow, my brother managed to consume more candy than he was supposed to have. So the choice he made was that Halloween candy, especially, remember those little black and cream-colored wrappers, candy, whatever that was. He loved that stuff. I don't know how much of that he ate. But the consequence of that was that he was awakened in the middle of the night with a severe stomach ache, to the effect that Mom and Dad had to take him to Troy. They thought he might have had appendicitis. Well, turned out he didn't. Turned out he just ate too much Halloween candy. But there was a consequence to that. Now, you know, we laugh about it now, but at the time, it was painful for him and expensive as well. So there are consequences to every choice we make. Scripture talks about people making choices throughout Scripture, because the end result is you have a choice. You choose God or you don't. Jesus says you're either for me or you are against me. You will either choose Him or you will not choose Him. There is no middle ground. Jesus said, if you're not for me, then you are against me. One Scripture I want to look at to start with is from Joshua chapter 24, and a hopefully familiar passage to you. Joshua was called by God to rule Israel and to carry them into the promised land after Moses died. And so now in Joshua chapter 24, we are nearing the end of Joshua's life, and he is addressing the elders, the leaders, the people of Israel. He is addressing them. And in verse 14, it starts this way. It says, "Now therefore," this is Joshua speaking, "fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt." Now, it is amazing to me that after all this time, Joshua is having to remind them to put away the pagan gods. But he is. He's saying, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil, or the word there can be translated bad, if it seems bad to you to serve the Lord, choose. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we've already chosen. We will serve the Lord. So Joshua is calling the people of Israel to a moment of decision. He's saying, I'm about to be gone. God's about to call me home. That what I want you to know is you need to choose today who you're going to follow. Either these pagan gods that you know about or God, whichever you're going to serve. But I'm going to tell you the choice we have already made. We're going to serve the Lord. Let's keep going. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 8 through 10 says, do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We have to be teachable. Does anybody in here proclaim to know everything? Good. We don't know everything. There's some things you need to be taught. There's some things I need to be taught. There is no greater teacher than the Spirit of God using the Word of God. But it is not going to get in by osmosis. It is not going to jump into your heart and into your head from being on your bookshelf or in your electronic device or wherever it is. You've got to spend time in the Word of God, and more importantly, the Word of God has got to spend time in you. I've heard before said that there's none so blind as he who will not see. There's also none so stupid as he who will not learn. Because some people believe they know all they need to know. And they'll tell you that. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you think you know it all, Scripture says you're going to fall. And you're going to fall flat on your face. Scripture says, let he who stands take heed lest he fall. When we think we know it all, that's when we're going to have the biggest problem. You see, Satan is a deceiver. And he came up to Adam and Eve and he said, well, you know, God didn't really mean this exactly like you took it. We were talking about this morning in life groups that somebody said about the Word of God, you need to read between the lines. No, you don't need to read between the lines. What's between the lines? Space is between the lines. There's nothing between the lines. God said what God means. And God means what He says. Now, are there spiritual meanings? Yes. Are there illustrations? Yes. But let the Spirit of God illuminate that. Don't go take the Word of God and start trying to bend it to what you want it to say. That's a dangerous thing. As a matter of fact, that is a foolish thing. And it will lead to heartache. It will lead to destruction. It will lead to death. Because God clearly, plainly says what God clearly and plainly means. Are there things in Scripture I don't understand? Absolutely. They don't bother me. There's enough of the things I understand that bother me to have to worry about those I don't understand. God will illuminate what you need. But you need to know Him and let His Spirit guide you. Don't be trying to read between the lines. Thirdly, 2 Corinthians 6:2 says this, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Your test is today. How many of you in school ever had a pop quiz? You get in there and the teacher says these dreaded words, clear your desk off and get a sheet of paper out. Oops. And of course, then you start hearing groans and oh my's, and people saying, well, you know, I intended to study, but so-and-so came up. You know what that's an example of? Consequences of a choice. Consequences of a choice. And then you'll have somebody say, well, I didn't have time. So did you time travel? Did you go somewhere where there wasn't 24 hours in a day? You see, God gives us all the same number of minutes every day. What matters is how we invest that time. We all have the same time, but we don't all make the same choices. I shared before with you about a lady who ran, a friend of mine, he was a police officer in Troy. The red light at University and George Wallace Drive goes to flashing yellow against George Wallace and red against University at midnight. And Charlie was traveling on George Wallace Drive where the yellow side was flashing. And this lady come out of University Avenue from toward the University going across George Wallace Drive and almost cut the front of his patrol car off. And he flips around and stops her. And he said, you almost hit me. You just ran a flashing red light. What's wrong? Now, she had a choice. She said, I thought as long as I went between flashes, it was okay. That was a bad choice. That was a bad choice. And she got a ticket for that. People make choices. People make bad choices. Sometimes they make good choices. A good choice would have been for her to stop at that red light. That's not what she did. It was a young 16-year-old one night, got stopped for driving under the influence. He made some choices, several choices that were bad. The officer brought him into the station, and he failed the intoxilizer test. 16 years old, so they're not going to lock him up in the city jail. So what does the arresting officer do? He calls the parents. And the guy's dad said, I'll be down there in a little bit. So the booking room is in the ground floor of the public safety building. And the kid asked the officer if he could go to the restroom, which was in the lobby. And the officer said, sure, go ahead. So he let him go into the lobby to the restroom. Now, the kid had already made some bad choices. He made another bad choice. He decided that he was going to run. Now, I don't know what he thought was going to happen because they already knew who he was, already had his driver's license, had his car, already called his dad. I don't know where he was going. But he ran out of the bathroom. I saw him on the TV monitor. He ran out of the bathroom and ran to the back door, which he did not realize was electrically locked. So he hits the back door, which does not give. His feet go out from under him. He busts the window out of the door. So now he's under arrest for DUI, and he's busted. I don't know how much that door costs, but it's not cheap. He busted the window out of the door. So then he starts crying and carrying on, and I'm thinking, who do you have to blame? Who do you have to blame? Countless people, though, blame somebody else. I messed up, but it's somebody else's fault. If you don't hear anything else, hear me today. When you stand before God, it will not be an excuse what so-and-so did. They're going to have to answer for their life. God is only going to want to know what you did with Jesus Christ. What decision did you make? You can't put it off on your parents, your spouse, your kids, your friends, or anybody else. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what culture said. It doesn't matter what Satan said. Let me ask you, who did God hold accountable for Adam and Eve's action? Adam and Eve, didn't he? Didn't matter. Oh, now, they tried to pass the buck, didn't they? Adam, being the man he was, what'd he do? What'd he do, man? He passed the buck, didn't he? To Eve. But Eve did the same thing, didn't she? She passed the buck to the snake. But the consequences we're still paying for today. So three things we want to think about today. First of all, we need to understand that choices, our choices, and other people's choices can define us. We do not live in a vacuum. Choices you make affect other people. Choices other people make affect you. There was a young woman pushing her baby in a carriage, baby carriage, down, I forget now which road it was, in Troy years ago. A drunk driver weaved off the road, hit them, and killed the baby. Now, whose fault is that? The drunk driver. The choice he made affected somebody else. We are a product of our choices. Make no mistake about it. You cannot get away from that. Whether you want to or not is irrelevant. Whether you want to blame the culture, mom and dad, your friends, or bad upbringing, poor economic conditions, whatever, I don't care. It doesn't matter. You are the product of your choices. Take responsibility for it. You messed up. Be man or woman enough to say, I messed up. It was my choice. At least my nephew, when he was in kindergarten, stood up and said, it's my attitude and I like it. It wasn't too good a result, but at least he took responsibility. We are the product of our choices. And make no mistake about it, we choose every day. Now, some of those choices are little. Well, I'm going to get unsweet tea or sweet tea, or I'm going to get the apple pie or whatever the case might be. We make all kinds of choices. But some of those choices you make are not small. And sometimes what you think is small or insignificant later on becomes a big deal. So don't assume that any choice is insignificant. Make sure that everything you do is pleasing to God. Amen? Everything you do. The people you hang out with, what you're saying, what you're watching, what you're doing, your goals, your values, who you vote for, whatever the list is, that God is pleased with that. Because we choose every day. And now, friends, make sure you realize we choose for eternity. What you choose today can have repercussions into eternity. There's one quote from Gladiator that the Roman centurion made that said, the effects of what we do today ripples into eternity. And that's true. That's one time Hollywood got it right. That's exactly right. The decisions you make today, the choices you make today, will ripple for all of eternity. The governor told Paul, almost you persuade me to become a Christian. I'm going to call you back at a more convenient time. As far as we know, there was never a more convenient time. How close did he get to heaven? That close. But that's not close enough. We choose for all eternity. We also choose to serve or to be self-centered. I was talking to a friend of mine at work the other day about things going on in the culture. And Billy told me, he said, you know, he said, Larry, I think the main problem, the center problem for everything we're facing today is selfishness. I said, I can agree with that. It's putting self ahead of everything else. I saw a little meme the other day. It had a picture of an 18-year-old in early June 1944 with combat fatigues, a Garand rifle, and a steel pot helmet about to storm the beaches in Normandy. Chances are that young man did not survive the assault. But he chose to do that to be selfless and self-sacrificing for a greater cause. How many people today do you see that would not ever, ever do that because they're all about themselves, not about serving anybody else. What's part of the problem with our country today? That's the problem. That rather than being selfless, we're self-centered. Rather than being sacrificial, we are self-serving. That's part of what's wrong. We think the choices we make have no consequences. When I first saw this news article, I thought it was a gag or a joke. But this woman and her husband were all up in arms because their 26-year-old son was shot and killed during the commission of an armed robbery. He goes into a business with a gun, him and some other guys, holding up a store. A person in the store pulled their own legally licensed to carry gun out, and they shot him and killed him. And the mother was like, he didn't deserve that. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sorry for any life that's lost, but you make a choice. And if you make a choice, you better be willing and ready to take that ride. You see, sin is going to take you farther than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and make you stay longer than you intended. Because Satan has no intention of you getting out alive. Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his purpose. Secondly, we need to understand that there are battle zones. Spiritually speaking, there are battle zones. And it is within our mind that this battle occurs. You see, Satan's weapon is deception. He attacks right here. He attacks our thinking. Satan is not going to appear to you like in some movie, like some slobber-dripping monster breathing fire. Satan's going to come to you, oh, man, that's a good idea. That sounds pretty good. Because what did Eve say? That the fruit looked good to eat, to make you wise. It appealed to her. Let's be honest, we sin because the temptation is appealing to us. We wouldn't do it if it didn't. You see, if Satan can deceive us into thinking wrong, then we will choose wrong. Why do we have this huge divide in the culture today? It's because so many people have been deceived. They have darkness over their spiritual eyes, and they think that they're doing the right thing. How could you possibly imagine, how could you possibly think anyone could believe that taking the life of a newborn child is okay? And yet, they think so. Satan deceives us into thinking wrong, and then we choose wrong because we think wrong. We are in the midst of a war for the hearts and minds of our future generations. Some of them are sitting in here today. Our future civilization depends on the choices we make today. How are they going to make right choices if they don't see those right choices demonstrated by mom and dad, by grandparents, by somebody else? I'm going to tell you what winds up happening. What winds up with most of the kids in the culture is it winds up Department of Corrections raises the child because there's been no raising going on. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How can you do that if you don't know Him? If you teach your children either by word or by action that they come from monkeys and then they act like monkeys, don't be surprised. You want the culture, you want the nation to turn around, you've got to make the right choices or it's never going to turn around. We are headed on a downhill spiral about to crash. If we don't pull up, we're going to flame out. The stakes are eternal. Not just here and now, but forever hereafter. The battleground is today. The battle is today. The war is won for all eternity. You want to know how to think? We talked about that last week. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you want to think right, you got to know Him. Because we're messed up. Humans are messed up. I got to think, if God had asked the animals, they'd have said, just do away with the humans, we'll be all right. And they probably would have been. The stakes are eternal. Thirdly, please make the right choice. Make the right choice. Because you do not have a second chance. Now, if you're going to make the right choice, you've got to have the right standard. You've got to have the right standard. If you learned your multiplication tables incorrectly, you can't pass a multiplication test. If you learned your spelling words wrong, you're not going to pass the spelling test. Use the right standard. Look at me. This is your standard. I don't care what culture says. I don't care what the media says. I don't care what the majority of the people in the world say. This is your standard. You either choose it or you lose out. That's the bottom line. Use the right standard. Follow the right leader. I don't know how many times in the years I worked in law enforcement did I see, and it wasn't always young people, sometimes it was adults, but I saw people that got into trouble that I knew enough about them to know had they been by themselves or with a different crowd, they would have never got in trouble. But they let the crowd make choices for them. Young people, listen to me. That friend you think is your friend, don't let them make your choices. Do not let them make your choices. You make it for yourself. Now, I am not going to stand here and tell you that I always successfully resisted peer pressure. I'm not going to tell you that. But I am going to tell you that some of the biggest mistakes I ever made, I made because I let somebody else influence me. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not responsible, because I am. But what I'm saying is, be careful about who you are following. Just because they say they have your best interest at heart does not mean they do. Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. Don't follow a man or a woman, for that matter. Follow Jesus. But you got to know what He said right here. Make sure you fellowship with the right crowd. Now, you might say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? I mean exactly what I said. Hanging around with the wrong crowd is going to pull you down. And you might say, well, you know, I know they don't do exactly, and I've heard people say this, well, you know, I don't know, they don't exactly live the right kind of life, but I'm going to be a good influence on them. Okay, now, listen. You be a good influence by going to church, by serving God, by praying for them, by leading a Christ-centered life. You don't do that. You don't be an example to them by going and doing their thing with them. What business has light with dark? Do not be unequally yoked together. What does that mean? That means the kingdom of God cannot be yoked to the kingdom of Satan. Does not work. It will not work ever You got somebody that's special to you, pray for them. Be an example to them. Minister to them, but do not join them in their activities. Let them become saved and join you in Christ's activities. You hear me? Make courageous choices. It is easy to go along with the crowd. Yes. Don't rock the boat. Don't make waves. Just blend in. Have you heard those things? Now, what does that get you? What does that get you? It gets you accepted by the crowd. Let's be honest. It gets you accepted by the crowd. It gets you accepted by Satan. What does it do for you? It'll make you feel guilty. It'll make you lose out on the joy that God's got for you. It might make you have some consequences for some sinful behavior that you never would have got into by yourself. Make courageous choices. If you have to stand by yourself, do it. Now, I promise you, you're going to feel like you're by yourself, but if you're taking a stand for Christ, you will never, ever, ever be by yourself. I've seen several pictures every year from See You at the Pole where one child is at the flagpole by themselves. And I think, how courageous. That's the most courageous thing I've seen. Because we're talking about teenagers. That's hard. That's hard. So it comes down to it. Joshua said, you choose today who you're going to follow. But I'm going to tell you who I'm going to follow, and that is God. Whether you do or not. Countless times before then, God set before Israel the way of life and the way of death. And He said, choose today which way you're going to follow. Here's your compass point. What choices will you make this week that you know is coming that will influence the rest of your life? Now, probably the ones you don't think about are the ones that's going to have the biggest influence, but you might know of some coming up that you've got to make, that you think pretty much sure you're going to have to make, that's going to influence the rest of your life. How will you decide what you're going to do? Because once you decide, you can never go back. Now, I don't mean by that God cannot forgive you, but what I'm saying is when you make that decision, you can never unmake it. You can never undo it. It is done. I'm sure all of us have had situations where we said something we wish we hadn't said. We wish we could grab it, stuff it back in our mouth, but it's too late. It's said. Well, same thing with decisions. Once you make them, they're made. Now, will God forgive you? Yes, He can. Will He restore a relationship, fellowship? Yes, He can. But that doesn't mean consequences are not going to follow. Be still and know that I'm God. That's what He said. We need to understand that God wants us, God will help us make right decisions and right choices, because He desires for us to do that. Because when we make right choices, what's the product of that? Blessings of God. Joy, peace, all those things that God wants to give us. He doesn't want to see us fall flat on our face. But I'm going to tell you, when we make decisions contrary to the Word of God, contrary to the direction of God, contrary to the way of God, that's what's going to happen. We're going to fall flat on our face. And it's going to hurt. I don't know what choices you have made. I don't know what choices you will be making, but I can promise you that God does, and that He will assist you if you will seek Him. Scripture says, those that seek me with all their heart, I'll be found by Him. So let me encourage you today, where you are right now, to make the best decision of your life, and that is to follow Christ where you are today. Let's pray. Father, as we come to this portion of the service where we make a decision, where we make a choice,